Right. So I'd like to talk a little bit more about meditation technique and kind of what we were doing, and then have a chance for a little walking meditation. Give you a chance to kind of debrief with each other how the walking and sitting practice was tonight, and finish up with some general questions. So in the class, I mean, this last meditation, this little 15-minute meditation, we had two objects that we focused on. One was sound. And sound has this great capacity of you just let the sound comes to you. It brings that spacious, really broad awareness. And then the other side of it, we had the breath. We might narrow down to just focus on the breath at the tip of our nose or on our nerval belly or in our chest. And so meditation can kind of zoom in like the just on the breath or zoom out to just receive sound as it's arising. And during the meditation, I ask you just to step back for a moment and notice what's the effects going on in the mind and body. So I do that for a couple of reasons. One is we're learning to come back more and more to that sense of stepping back, to simply observing what's present, no matter what it is. And also to start to learn when you're struggling, when you're having a level of tension. Now, I wish I could say that if you're doing the meditation perfectly right, you would never have any struggle, but that would be a lie. Yeah, you can be sitting, you know, really in a good posture and really focusing on the sound or breath, and you may still have a lot of kind of turbulence coming up. And that's actually something that we'll talk about on the week three around what's called the hindrances, when some of the difficulty starts to cook a little bit more. Because actually, paradoxically, the more you relax and receptive, the more your body starts to unwind. Not only your body, but also your mind. You know, the sense of mental tension starts to unwind. And sometimes there's these kind of areas of turbulence, like a little mini storm going through the mind and body. And this is actually a sign of the practice deepening. Also, if you just sit down and you've been really busy today, or maybe you're dealing with grief or anxiety, that act tends to show up in the body. But that being said, there's also just the discernment that we're trying to cultivate pretty early on about finding what's the right meditative technique or meditative object, what we focus our attention on is what I mean by object. Because some objects, like sound, may allow you to feel more peaceful, more calm. You know, perhaps that wasn't your experience. Perhaps you felt more distracted or more agitated. Same thing with the breath. Focusing on the breath, again, with this non-judgmental, reactive attention, ideally starts to bring a greater sense of calm and ease to your body. But sometimes it doesn't. So I'm saying this to give you permission to shift from sound or to breath or sound or to body based on what's going on in your experience. Especially early on when we're first learning, we want to find a object of attention that allows us to settle, just to stay more calm and more relaxed. Okay, so some people, sound and breath, sound is great for that. Sometimes the breath is great for that. Eventually we will learn to work with both of those, but at least initially to learn to see, okay, what's the mind-body doing? Is there a lot of tension that's being elicited? Then come back to something different, shift to something else. As the class goes on, we'll increase this capacity to meet what may not be so pleasant or more turbulent. That actually gives us this confidence to meet whatever life starts to give us, whether it's, you know, physical discomfort or pain or some emotional pain. We learn to develop that capacity. So that's just some words about that little instructions there with meditation. I also like to just talk about the basic relationship we have with the present moment. Okay, often we spend, if we're honest with ourselves, and maybe you've noticed this even with these little meditations, that we spend a lot of time thinking, a lot of time really lost in thought. You know, I was driving to work the other day and I just kind of went past my normal exit because I was lost in thought. And, you know, and it's like, oh, wow, something, I was not really present for what was here. So learning how to be really present for what's here is one of the arts of meditation, is learning to actually meet what's here. Right? So a lot of times when you do that, when you have that intention, you're going to see how much your mind does get distracted. So learning how to meet those distractions with a quality of grace, of ease, of not getting so worried that you're getting lost in thought, but focusing instead on the fact that you woke up to that and just coming back gently to the breath or to sound. So what is here right now is often a really good question. You know, what's right in front of me? As I'm sitting right now, I can feel my body touching the chair. I can feel the coolness of the air in my skin. I can hear my voice, the resonance of that in my body. I can see all of you sitting and, you know, and sharing this time together. This is what's right in front of me. And my mind can go into what I'm going to do tomorrow or this weekend or what happened earlier today. And that's a shifting into the past or into the future. So we're learning how to come back again and again. And certainly sometimes the past has things we have to explore, reconcile, work with. Sometimes the future has things we have to plan for and deal with. We're not denying that reality and that truth. Instead, we're learning also this quality really being present with what's here, what's now. There's a poem I'm going to use a little bit as a teaching poem around this point. It's called Lost by David Wagner. Stand still. The trees ahead and the bushes beside you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here, and you must treat it as a powerful stranger, must ask permission to know it and be known. The forest breathes. Listen. It answers, I have made this place around you. If you leave it, you may come back again, saying here. No two trees are the same to raven. No two branches are the same to wren. If what a tree or a bush does is lost on you, you are surely lost. Stand still. The forest knows where you are. You must let it find you. Lost by David Wagner. Here, you know, that sense of saying here, right? What's here right now? Sometimes the moment is going to contain beauty, ease, pleasure. Sometimes it's going to contain distress, discomfort, disease. This is just what's here. And the more you learn to connect to that moment, you start to see how much the moment's always in flux. When we start to see how it's in flux, we start to change our very relationship to life. So part of this journey, that one of our kind of main things we try to learn and teach on this class, is the difference between our thoughts about experience and the actual experience. Okay, what's the difference between those two? When you hear a sound, like as I listen outside, I hear the sound of a plane far away. The sound itself is, that's the raw data. That's the actual hearing, the actual sense data. The idea of plane is an interpretation. It's something that I've added on to that bare experience. Okay, so see how those are two different things. Often we focus on our interpretation as being the absolute truth, absolute reality. But how often, you know, maybe that's not a plane. Maybe it's a helicopter, or maybe it's a car or a lawnmower. And so learning how to come back to the direct experience is so helpful. Because so often we live our lives through our interpretation of life instead of how it actually is. And how often have we harmed others through that? How often have we harmed ourselves? Been harmed through someone's interpretation, someone's prejudice, someone's idea of who we are. And so learning to meet something as simple as sound is with the freshness and innocence, like a directness, like you've never heard it before, that's getting much closer to the heart of meditation. And it's meant to just be an initial teaching that we start to flesh out in many different areas of our life. We bring it into our breath, we'll explore our body, we're even explore that sense of concept of self, of who I am, and how that too is just an elaboration of something that's much more much more direct, much more immediate. So as we go through the class, we'll start to see more and more how we confuse direct experience with our ideas of it, and learn to go below the idea to that direct felt sense. Right? So by doing this, you start to find that, yeah, you become much more present, much more connected to this present moment, much more, there's a sense of intimacy and spontaneity that starts to arise. And at the same time, there's this quality of being able to be much more appropriate with what's here instead of being stuck in our interpretation. And don't worry, you'll still know, you know, what a plane sounds like or what a car looks like and, you know, who you are and how to do your job. That stuff is still there. You just learn to see it not as the complete picture. So hopefully that kind of makes sense. So that's this important shift, and there's many different levels of it and subtle qualities that we'll explore and continue to explore if you keep practicing after this. So part of this class is learning to do that. Another part is learning that steadiness of attention. So our attention naturally tends to be distracted. You know, how often have you opened a website and a pop-up comes up or an advertisement? It's like, look at me, look at this attention. This is like a, you know, kind of an expression of how distracted our minds get. So learning to collect our minds, to have that steadiness, it's so valuable. It enhances everything that we do to be able to have that steady attention, to be able to meet ourselves, to meet another person, you know, whatever we might be doing, having that steadiness. So it's, you're going to find yourself being lost in thought, you know, countless times in a meditation period. That doesn't matter. It's the fact that you come back to whatever you're focusing on, the breath, sound, the body, like next week. That's what strengthens this steadiness of attention. So please be very gentle and patient with yourself. You know, feeling judgmental or upset that you got lost in thought, you know, for the 100th time, it's counterproductive. It just adds another level of tension to the practice, which is not needed. The more you can just say, oh, the mind's lost, that's okay. The more you can come back with grace and ease, the more the practice will open up in front of you. All right, so I just want to share those words about the practice.